So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ben and Woods, 97.3, The Fan. So, so wonderful to be here with you. We're live from Peoria, Arizona, Padres Fantasy Camp. Looking forward to this week. I just noticed the camera angle on me is a side shot, and that's not going to last long at all.
I know I did,
but Paulie, I did not think
about...
Is that
not your good side?
Bro, the side shot gullet gobbler for the just dangling down for 5 days. I don't know what to do now, but now I'm very self-conscious about all of it. Maybe I'll just sit with, like, the thinker, with my fist under my throat. Great to be here with you guys, man. Very excited. We got a lot to get to today as far as, you know, things that happened and everything else. But let me introduce the show right quickly. I'm Woodsy. Paul Reindel is our executive producer. And Nervous Purvis himself, Benjamin R. Higgins, the chairman, as it were, as well, joins us. Yeah, you just got very nervous.
I wasn't nervous. The show was about to start, and you and Heath Bell were carrying on this like ongoing conversation. Yes. I just wanted to make sure everyone was ready for the start of the program.
He goes, we had about 10 seconds till we were jumping out there. Ben goes, stand by, which he's never done before,
ever. Not one
time. He's never in 8 years said, okay, stand by. It was a polite way of saying, hey, man, beat it. We have a show to do.
Get
your ass out of here. Stand by.
Was I that obvious?
Well, the best part is he's the only other person in this building.
Yes.
So he can definitely hear us from around the
corner. It was less for Heath. It was more for you, actually.
I wasn't sure
if you were kind of absorbed in your conversation and we're going to be ready to start the program on time.
Stand by, everybody.
Stand by.
Ben, stand by. I mean, it was priceless. Now, that's not the only issue of you being nervous so far here out at camp. We got in yesterday, and it's a good drive. We got pummeled by some rain. I think Adam actually has some audio.
It sounded like a war zone. It was insane.
Yeah, I've never gone. Yeah. I might curse, so be careful.
I beeped it.
Probably beeped it. Oh my God!
Machine gun fire.
It's the hardest night I've ever seen. Holy.
I've never seen anything like that before, and it just came out of nowhere.
It was like 60 seconds.
And it was pooling on the freeway.
The 85 from Gila Bend up to the 10. It was like a 60 second stretch of just the most insane torrential downpour I've ever seen.
And I did a mini panic because I didn't want to die yesterday. And I slowed down, I'd say, to about 35 because I could not see 1 foot in front of me. Old ladies are passing me on the left side, and I'm like,
with their hazards on.
I'm like, I don't care, Paulie. I do not care. And I got my sweet angel, Paulie. I got to deliver him in one piece. I got a family. Like, I was not about to be this guy in the rain. All you sissies can't drive in the rain. Watch this going 100. I couldn't see. So I slowed down. I exercised caution. But then, we get to the Airbnb. We got all dialed in. Ben arrives right after we get there. And then about an hour or so later, Major Garrett and his producer, Arden, join us as well. And I go upstairs. We take a shower. We're going to go to dinner last night. And I wanted to take this moment on the program to apologize to my co-host, Benjamin Higgins, because I feel that I embarrassed him last night. There was a look that you gave me I don't know the most delicate way to put this, but I feel bad, like that I'm maybe not enough for you. I don't know. I Paulie,
you know, we've been friends and worked intimately together for like 8 years now.
Yes.
You in particular, Woods, you have this zest for life.
Yeah.
This flair, this passion. It just it beams from you.
Thank you, Paulie.
And I had to, for the first time in my life since I've known you, yeah, I had to watch that zest for life just get sucked out of your soul.
It was like
your face went pale.
Yeah. Do you know what we're referring to?
I have no idea.
It's, remember that hemorrhoid commercial where they light that match and then they take that Tux medicated pad and snuff it out?
Yeah.
So we were all milling about the kitchen and we're about to go to dinner. And I said, oh, Major, you are going to love this restaurant. It is so nice. It's so good.
Do you know now?
Yes.
Now he knows.
Ben's face, he panicked. I think he's panicked around Major Garrett. And he goes, no, it's not. It's nice for out here, is what he said. And I went, oh, I'm sorry. I don't know what a nice restaurant is. Now, we've been there before. It's delicious.
It's a good restaurant.
It's nice.
It, and we had a nice meal. Guys, you know, a Washington insider probably dines at a lot of the top Washington restaurants. I didn't want
he's not in Washington.
An Italian restaurant in Glendale, Arizona. I didn't want expectations to be through the roof.
So I said to him, I said, you're really going to like this place. It's really good. It's nice. And Ben goes, it's nice for
it's
out.
Okay.
It's okay. It's not nice for, it's nice for out here.
Put it this way.
And I thought, he's looking at me like I'm sitting on a front porch with a jug with three X's on it and a piece of straw hanging from my mouth. Like I'm some hick.
Oh, I just didn't want Major to look at us like
some
we
hicks.
Were uncultured, West Coast, have no idea what, you know,
you would have thought
East Coast elites do.
You would have thought we promised Major and Arden like a delicious prime rib dinner, and we took him to Arden's. Like that, the look of disgust.
It's fair.
Is it? Am I accurate?
You're accurate. I just didn't want expectations. People generally are happier when you set expectations a little lower and exceed them, as opposed to setting expectations really high and then, yeah, it was good, but
yeah.
I don't know. Was he kind of oversold this place? I didn't want him to go in thinking that it was going to be the greatest meal of his life, and then, but he did actually. He had some lasagna.
Yeah,
because
it was
really
good. Because it's a good restaurant.
Nice place. Good Lord. Not everything.
You know
has
what I like
be.
When somebody invites me to dinner, they say, hey, don't set expectations too high.
This place kind of sucks.
Okay.
I do. That's what I do.
This place kind of sucks, but maybe you'll like it.
You probably won't get sick. It's fine.
I go, yeah, Paulie saw the color drain from my face, and I went, well, shoot. And then when we got to the restaurant, we sat down. We had a great table. I mean, it's a great table for out here.
Yeah, for Glendale.
Right, for Glendale. It's a great
it's
table.
It's not D.C. or anything.
Right, but it's not a table in D.C. But we sat down. We had some wine. Good wine. Good wine for out here. And then I ordered the meatball Ferris wheel. And Ben would have, again, thought that I was back on the front porch, this time playing the spoons on my knee with my cousin that I've had sex with sitting on my lap when I said, we have to get the meatball wheel. And he goes, there's other appetizers. You don't have to get the meatball wheel. And I go, all right.
It's a very gimmicky item. It's
very
yes,
it's gimmicky. A wheel of meatballs.
I just wanted to make sure that other people didn't have different thoughts as to what they might want to have for an appetizer. You were very forceful about your insistence on the Ferris wheel of meatballs.
But I also said, let's get the meatball wheel and then get whatever else you want.
Sure.
Right? We didn't say we're doing one app and one app only, and it's going to be the meatball wheel. Not every you've turned into like Patrick Bateman from American Psycho. Like, not every restaurant's going to be Dorsia that you need to have a reservation to get in. And so he made me feel like I thought that like Chili's was fine dining. And I can assure you, sir, I have been to some of the finest restaurants in Dallas, Texas. Okay, and I'm very cultured. Very. You just don't know it yet. So.
But are you?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry Now, your buddy's coming out. Your buddy's coming out today.
I'm actually more worried that I don't know what good culture is. Because Washington, D.C., New York City, it's a little different than out here.
So I think you should just be happy in what you do know. Also, again, I hope I didn't embarrass you too badly in front of Major Garrett.
Not too badly.
But a little bit.
Yeah, I do idolize him a little bit, I must say.
You do?
Yeah.
Yeah, as you should. He was nervous. He missed two turns on the way home.
Well, I got there so easily in the light, but then it was dark on the way home, and I didn't think I needed any help getting back, and I twice missed turns. That was a little embarrassing.
Well, I love you, and I'm sorry that you had to work with some hick from Texas, man. Hopefully Major and his producer recovered from the piss poor meal that
they
had last night.
They enjoyed their meal. They enjoyed the conversation, the stories.
We kind
of set
stories.
The stage for the start of Fantasy Camp, which is going to happen later this morning. If you're joining us, if you haven't been with us for Fantasy Camp before, this is really incredible. We are set up right outside the Padres Major League Clubhouse, where the players will be next month for spring training. And I love this seat in particular where I am sitting, because as I look up the open doors to the clubhouse, a couple of years ago they put up the sign, and I get to look at it the entire week we're here. And it's a picture of Peter Seidler with his quote that says, "One year soon, the baseball gods will smile on the San Diego Padres, and we will have a parade."
Yep.
And I love that they put that up there, and always just seems to set a good tone every year when we're out here.
Yeah, no question. I was just in the bathroom, and I saw the urine chart, which is also something I like to look at when I'm out here. You do have to monitor your urine while you're here at Fantasy Camp, because it is very dry. It's very cold in Arizona right now, about 39 degrees this morning, which a bit of a shock. You know, it's cold for out here. It's cold for out here. It was freezing this
morning.
You had
said to Major Garrett, "It's cold." It's cold for out here.
D.C.
It's
real cold.
It's not. It's cold for out here.
I just wonder in my life, Paulie, maybe you can help answer this question. Will I ever be enough, Paul?
Oh.
Am I ever going to be enough?
Hey.
You know?
For me?
Yeah.
Am I
enough for you?
You are.
Thank you, man.
I think for a lot of people, you are. But
and maybe I'm too much.
I think for some, you're the guy from Deliverance.
Benny, I just want to make you happy. I just live to make you happy. We did put out a little video last night. Got a lot of traction on social media. Very, very funny video of Ben in the... I walked in yesterday, checked into our room, and I looked in the corner, and I go, "Why is that chair there?" It's a very weird, very weird place. Very weird placement for a chair that just faces the bed. It's what it is. And it's a recliner. So in my mind's
it's
eye.
It's like the comfiest chair in the house. It's
so
a nice seat right there.
It's a great chair.
Just facing bed.
I sat in it too. But I walked in and I go, "What? Why is it?"
We got in and we did a house tour. We're like, "You have a literal..."
It's a literal cuck chair in my room. And all I could picture was, I don't know, the guy that owns it, or I don't know, everybody that rents it out is like, "All right, I got the cuck room." And guys just like, "Okay, whenever you guys are ready." And it's dead facing my bed. I mean, it's like, so I woke up this morning, I looked over, I was like, but no, Ben did actually... He slept on the couch last night, and I did feel terrible for you, because the couch, in my estimation, no, this isn't Woods hyperbole. I'm not blowing this out of proportion. It's about 3 feet wide, right?
It's narrow. It was long enough for me.
It definitely was long enough.
Which is, even beds sometimes aren't long enough.
Yeah.
And my feet stick over the side. So I was actually happy that I, you know, could fit my entire body the length of the couch. And it was pretty comfortable.
I walked down this morning, and he was on his side, and there was no room to spare on the couch.
I never fell off once.
And did you sleep okay?
I did. Yeah.
Did the allure of not spending money make a poor night's sleep even out?
Yes, like not spending an extra night at a hotel for a few hours.
Yeah.
No, because we've got our own place that we're going to check into today. So just figured I could couch crash for one night, and it was absolutely fine.
Now, Adam Klug is our boss, and he is on the board today. Good morning, Adam.
What's up, guys?
How are you, buddy?
I'm excellent.
Now, you would have 1,000% done the same as Ben last night and slept on the couch, yes?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of drawers in my room that are big enough, I think, to fit you. They're actually a good-sized drawer.
Big dresser.
But, yeah, I thought, oh, and Adam, you could have splayed out on this thing because Ben is much bigger than you are. And you actually would have been very comfortable. But for Ben, Ben's a big boy. And him laying on the couch this morning broke my heart a little bit. But I know you'll be in the lap of luxury. You and your friend, your buddy Scott's coming to town. Now, you don't want me and Scott hanging out because if I embarrassed you in front of Major, I would really embarrass you in front of him. He is highfalutin. Is he not?
He is. Oh, yeah.
Where are you guys flying to dinner tonight? what are you guys going to eat tonight in this, you know, area that we're in?
I think he did text me last week when we were planning the trip. He was looking around the air and he goes, oh, so I should get ready for a week of Chili's and Applebee's, apparently.
I mean, they're
he said it with derision,
too. No, 100%.
Like Peoria, Arizona, the chain capital of the world.
The options in Peoria, Arizona are somewhat limited.
I'm going to need a full report of every meal that you two eat and where, okay? Just so that we have it on the record. But, well, I'm excited for you, too, because you get to play some golf today. Nice course. Nice for out here. You'll be playing some golf this afternoon.
Yep, Friday afternoon golf. That's a nice way to wrap up a week after a little travel. I can't believe it's already Friday. Our first week of the year is wrapping up. It's went fairly quickly.
It has.
My drive over was pretty smooth. I did not get the rain that you got. I saw the puddles left over from your rain, but the drive was smooth. What I didn't realize, and I don't think you guys realized either, is that right as we were all arriving through Glendale, Arizona, about 15, 20, 30 minutes before the college football playoff semifinal started at the Fiesta Bowl at State Farm Stadium. So
literally away from our beach.
We hit all the traffic of everyone from Miami, everyone from Ole Miss, and everyone from Phoenix trying to get to the stadium for the game last night, which turned out to be a pretty incredible matchup between the Hurricanes and the Rebels.
It was it was really one of the better football games you're going to watch, you know. And again, congrats to the Miami Hurricanes. You have to tip your cap to them. They are a really, really ferocious team. And you know, listen, I think luck played a little part in Ole Miss keeping it close, and I think luck played a little part in Miami winning the game. I think, you know, the referees decided there at the end is like, you know what? No, we're not getting enough attention tonight. So let's make sure we're in on every single play. Which is always kind of a bummer to watch in a big game like that. But, again, it does not take away from the football team that Miami is. It just doesn't. They are that good. They're that nasty. It pains me to say this as a longtime, you know, person that's not a fan of Miami.
And we'll talk about it a little bit more later. But now they get to play the national championship game at their home field, which is the first time that's ever happened. But Hard Rock Stadium is the host. Was always going to be the host, and Miami kind of lucks out because, you know, Indiana's very good, but even if they win and beat Oregon tonight, you've got to feel like that home field advantage is going to give at least Miami maybe makes up the difference between the two teams or whatever, but I see it being a pretty even toss-up sort of matchup if that's what it ends up being. I do think Indiana's going to win tonight. Oregon, I'm sure will give them a better game than they saw against Alabama, but ultimately, Indiana's been the best team all year. I think they're going to make the championship, and I think it's going to be a close one a week from Monday in Miami.
I do, too, and I can't wait for it, and I can't wait for tonight's game as well. Wanted to update the Tier 1s as well on something we've been talking about all week. I got a text last night from the Little Leaguers, Encinitas Little League.
Oh, yes.
The board?
The board.
The decision
They made their decision, guys. And it said, I can call you Monday if you want your official congratulations on the air. But we would love to have you manage a minor B team. It's going to be fun to have you on board. So, made it. And now the hard
time
work
to
start
putting together your coaching staff. Starts.
Yep.
Getting ready for the draft.
Yes.
You've got a lot of preparation to do.
Yeah, this is, you know, for a coach, this is what you live for. You know, plotting and preparing and getting ready to develop these, you know, 7, 8, 9-year-olds. But, yes, got the gig. Very excited about that. And look forward to a really productive season. And, you know, We also want to bring a championship home to San Diego. I don't even know if they play for a championship. We do keep score, I found out, which is a good, that's a good positive twist from the baseball I've been playing with my kids.
Will you be actively trying to recruit Tim Flannery this week to join your coaching staff?
Well, so here's...
Third base coach Tim Flannery has a nice ring to it in minor B.
Here's the interesting thing. Flann's grandson, who I have coached before... I didn't see his name on the – I don't know that he's making the jump up to minor B. He may still be in machine, but I watched him play last year, and he was fantastic on machine. I think, personally, he's ready for the jump, but if he's not, then that's okay. When I can get him, I know that Tim will come out and help and work with the infielders, and there's just no better human on the planet. Flann's on his way out here. I would have Flann on for an entire show. He probably would, too. You're just going to get all the good stories this week, and just so excited for you guys to hear it, and excited to see everyone. We've already seen Heath Bell. There's Heater. Hi, Heater.
There he is.
Earliest bird of all the birds, man.
I love being on the show, damn it.
Let's go.
Yeah.
I love it, man. You'll be on. You'll be on, buddy. So, yeah, that's Heath Bell right there, already here getting ready.
All right, we have, well, it's kind of be a fly-by-the-seat-of-our-pants sort of day. I'd imagine we will have some guests, although the first...
We may have a real, real nice surprise for the Tier 1s out there. If...
Oh, you... Yeah.
Yeah,
if this guy... We got to cover last night's game, right?
If this guy's up and awake, said he may come by, we'll be watching the door, but you'll be very happy, Tier 1.
Technically, you know, the doors for Fantasy Camp don't open until about 9 o'clock this morning. But as we said, Heath Bell's already here. We'll have some guests. We'll set the menu for what else is going up on the program, including some Padres news yesterday involving their arbitration-eligible players. We'll get you caught up on A.J. Preller's offseason activity and more. It is all coming up on the Friday edition of Ben and Woods, live from Padres Fantasy Camp in Peoria, Arizona. Don't go away. Get our first check of traffic with Kelly Danick, and then off and running on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And we're live. In
and
three,
we're
two,
live.
One.
Hey!
Welcome back. That is how that's done in TV.
But we're not on TV.
If there's like some noise going on in the studio, the director will come on and go, stand by, and everyone has to get quiet.
Everyone shuts up.
That's why I did that at the start of the show, to quiet you down in your conversation with Heath Bell. Welcome back.
I am.
Heater was wearing a very inappropriate T-shirt, and I think that's what made Ben uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
It had a super soaker on it.
It sure did.
The water gun, yeah.
A water gun.
A water gun.
With an I heart above it.
I heart.
Water guns. He likes water
guns. He likes water guns.
It's
yeah.
Enjoys water guns, apparently. Welcome back.
We are
live at Padres Fantasy Camp, and there was some Padres news yesterday, so let's get right to it. Good news, I would say, as once again, A.J. Preller will not be going to arbitration with any of his players. Came close last year with Michael King before eventually getting a deal done. By the way, Michael King, of course, returning to be with the Padres on a free agent contract this season. And I do think, Woods, how teams treat their players in arbitration can have a carryover effect to when you're trying to sign them to free agent contracts. There are teams that don't operate the way the Padres do. I was looking at the Detroit Tigers, and they're known as a file and trial team. Like, if you don't agree before the deadline yesterday and they exchange numbers, then there's no more discussion. We're just going to the
straight
arbitration hearing, which means Tarek Skubal, who asked for $32 million and was countered with $19 million by the Detroit Tigers, they're angling for a very contentious and potentially controversial arbitration hearing. If it does get to that point, maybe he even gets traded before that so they don't have to even deal with it. But I would say just like that giant gap between the two sides increases the likelihood that Tarek Skubal gets traded between now and the start of spring training. But the Padres don't operate that way.
No, they don't. And I, you know, you wonder with the Tarek Skubal situation too. And I don't know enough, Benny, about the ins and outs of the business of baseball. You know, probably would behoove me to talk to, you know, a player that's been through it or an agent that's had to, you know, answer those calls. And, but, you know, with Tarek Skubal, you do wonder, like, they, I think in their heart of hearts, know we're not going to pay you $500 million to pitch for us for the next 10 years. We're not going to do it.
So we don't need to.
So we don't need to
have a good relationship with you beyond this season. Let's see if we can save $13 million by lowballing you on arbitration.
You're under contract for a year. We will get to a salary, or an arbitrator will get to a salary that, you know, everyone's going to have to be okay with. And I wonder if it's going to be somewhere in between 19 and 32, Ben, because I don't think he's going to get 32, but I don't think an arbitrator is going to give him 19 either.
Well, no, they only have the choice of 19 or 32. That's it.
Oh, so there's no meat in the middle.
There's no meat in the middle.
They could have met in the middle before.
And they still could now, but the Tigers say, well, we're not going to talk anymore. So it has to be one or the other. The arbitrator does not have the option of going in between.
So now they know.
It's one or the other. I think Tarek Skubal's going to win because he is, as a final arbitration-eligible player, he's allowed to bring up, I've won two Cy Young, he's allowed to compare himself now to other Cy Young Award winners. And I just don't think 19's going to be enough. I think the Tigers are going to end up losing.
Dylan Cease just got 30 a year?
Yeah, now that's free agency, so that makes a difference, but none of them are as good as Tarek Skubal. So I think the Tigers may have gone too low, but that's their problem. The Padres, meanwhile, so they agreed with all six of their remaining arbitration-eligible players. And MLB trade rumors and Fangraphs, they did projections like they estimated what each guy was going to get early in the offseason. I thought it was notable that every single one, other than Jason Adam, is going to get more than the projection. That A.J. Preller went higher than that number for every single one. And Adam, of course, got close to the projected $6.8 million. He got $6.675. He's also injured going into the season. That may have had something to do with it. But Gavin Sheets going to get $4.5 million. That's $200,000 over his projection of $4.3 million. Mason Miller is going to get $4 million. That's $600,000 over the projection of $3.4 million. Adrian Morejon is going to get $3.9 million. That's $300,000 over the projection of $3.6 million. Freddie Fermin is going to get $2.1 million. That's $300,000 over the projection of $1.8 million. I did not see reporting on the numbers for J.P. Sears. He was projected at $3.5 million, but they did agree on the one-year deal with Sears as well. So no arbitration numbers exchanged, no hearings for the San Diego Padres once again, and A.J. Preller has never gone to an arbitration hearing as GM of the Padres.
That is a feather in his cap, to be sure. And again, I'm sure the players appreciate that. From what I understand, it's not the world's greatest process. There will be a player here this week that has been through arbitration that we can ask, hey, tell us about how that went down. Yeah. What did they say? You know, they apparently bring up every single thing that you've ever done wrong in there to just try to lower the price. I look forward to our negotiations with Michael and Adam this year as well. But yeah, doesn't feel like a really cool idea to have to go sit in that room in front of an arbitrator. So not very great, but kudos to AJ Preller. The last time the Padres participated in an arbitration hearing was in 2014 with Andrew Cashner.
Wow.
Pretty nuts, man. So 12 years, no arb for A.J. Preller.
I think the ones that are most interesting, Adrian Morejon, of course, is in his final year and will be a free agent at the end of 2026, giving him a little bit extra. It's a good table setter. If you're going to try to sign him to a contract extension before he hits free agency, hey, that's a smart way to go. Like, okay, we're not going to lowball you on your arbitration number, and now let's have a good, honest discussion about what a long-term deal could look like.
Yeah.
I think we'd all love the Padres to be able to keep Adrian Morejon. We'd all love them to be able to keep Jason Adam. I don't know that both of those guys who are going to be free agents at the end of this year, they're going to probably have to make a decision. Do you see them both coming back in 2027? I'm not sure. It's a lot to spend on two relief pitchers in free agency.
Yeah.
When you've got other,
guys
parts
up.
Of the roster that you probably will need to address. I'd say at the most they're going to be able to sign one of those two guys.
I didn't tell you about the mistake I made yesterday, by the way. My blind ass. Sitting in this chair, Paulie was getting all the equipment set up and the internet connected. And Mark Feinsand had tweeted. And I didn't have my glasses on.
Oh, my God.
And so I looked, and the first thing I saw was this tweet about Adrian Morejon. And I go, oh, my God, they extended Morejon 3 for $39.
Oh, no, that's not what it said.
Nope.
No.
It's just an ARB deal for 3.9.
We were with a couple of people who would have been in the know on that probably, and they were like, wait, really? What?
Yeah.
And we're like, never mind. Just kidding.
Make sure – not only do you have to – research who tweets stuff out. You also have to research the tweet that you misread.
We should get you a pair of readers.
I have several pair of readers. But yeah, I totally soiled the bed on that one yesterday. But it did give me that little boost of excitement.
So presumably AJ Preller has been. People think about the off season and go, why isn't AJ Preller doing anything? Why is it so quiet? You realize that six arbitration-eligible players require likely hours of conversations with each of their agents to dial this in. So my guess is he's been working on these things for the last couple of weeks. Not that he can't pursue a free agent or a trade at the same time. He can, but there's been work going on in the offseason. You want to make sure that this is taken care of before, you know, anything gets out of hand or you have to go to an arbitration hearing. So this is a normal part of the offseason. And since there hasn't been a lot of other moves by other teams right now.
Yeah, you don't feel like everyone is sprinting, and you're just kind of ambling down the path.
Right. If you were not doing anything, and every other team was making signings left and right, and players were coming off the board, you'd go, oh, the Padres are falling a little bit behind.
Yeah.
But when no one is doing anything,
yeah,
you're fine. You're just biding your time, and you're being patient.
Would you call it backboarding?
Backboarding. Sticking around the backboard,
yep,
to try to make sure you're ready for a rebound.
Cherry picking.
If a guy doesn't get the contract he's looking for, then you can swoop in, offer something nice, but not, you know, over the top, and you get guys. That usually happens, of course, a little closer to spring training, because a guy who's looking for a certain number is not going to give up right now. It's January 9th.
Right.
They're not going to go, oh, guess I'm not going to get that deal. They're going to continue to think, okay, you know, some team's going to want to offer me what I've been asking. But when you get close to spring training, they start thinking, these offers are not materializing. Let's lower our number. Let's go back to the table, see if some other teams are interested if we come back at a lower number. So you do have to have some patience in the offseason as well. You can't just spend like a drunken sailor every single offseason, and that's not a long-term effective strategy usually.
I wish it was.
Yeah.
Because I really love how a drunken sailor spends.
We had a couple of those off seasons.
We did.
They were great.
They were fun.
Yep. Yeah, but those are rare. Not just for the Padres, but for every team.
Yep.
You know, there really isn't a team. Not even the Dodgers every offseason spend like drunken sailors. There are years where you can kind of do it. This is the Toronto Blue Jays year to spend a little bit like drunken sailors. But very few teams consistently do that. The Padres had their window. Now they're back with everybody else. Like, they're still signing players, but they're going to be smart about it. They're going to be strategic about it and, you know, try to, you know, wait out the market a little bit.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But, yeah, as you mentioned, baseball right now, pretty quiet. Not even a lot of rumors. You know, the rumor mill, when it gets cracking, you know, that's enough to kind of sustain people and you let yourself kind of dream on things. But even that right now is just... it's just very, very quiet. I mean, the Boston Red Sox, by the way, I saw this tweet sent out yesterday. The only team so far in Major League Baseball to not offer anybody a free agent contract yet. The only team in baseball, meaning the Reds have, the Pirates have, the Rockies have, you know, everybody but John Henry and the Boston Red Sox. Just sitting on his piles of Liverpool money. He's like, I'm good, we're good, we're going to wait. And maybe they will. Now, they've made some savvy trades. They've improved their team, in my opinion.
Yeah, Sonny Gray.
Yeah.
They've done things.
But no free agents yet for Boston. Maybe that's not the avenue they want to pursue under Craig Breslow. I'm just not sure. But, like, the Yankees, the Mets, you know, two big, big spending New York teams, just kind of chilling right now. Everyone's just kind of in that wait-and-see mode. So, again, I think it's just a good reminder, don't panic yet.
We're going to check traffic. On the other side, our sister station in New York, Odyssey, WFAN, had a sit-down interview with Rob Manfred yesterday in which some interesting topics were broached by the Commissioner of Baseball. We'll talk a little bit more about what could be coming to MLB right after Kelly's traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Right, when you're in the off season, anytime the commissioner speaks, it's going to be news, not other, you know, big stories going on. So this happened to make a lot of waves yesterday when Manfred appeared on WFAN with Craig Carton and Chris McMonagle. We interviewed Rob Manfred. Remember, that was our second day or third day ever of Ben and Woods when we interviewed Rob Manfred.
I'm sure I crushed it, by the way. I would die to
pretty sure we had
that, hear that.
We had that booked, I think, before we even knew Woods was joining the show.
Yeah, correct.
We're like, hey, by the way, we have the Commissioner of Baseball.
We're like, what?
Friday?
What?
Nearly 8 years later, he's never returned. That was a one and done with the commissioner, but had a fairly long sit-down conversation. Number of different topics were broached. I thought one of the most interesting was when he revealed that MLB has at least had discussions about an in-season tournament like the NBA Cup, and also had discussions about a split schedule, which would be, you see this in the minor leagues. You saw it, remember, in 1981 when the
I
Dodgers
won. I do not
won.
Remember in 1981. So when I was 6 years old.
So that year, the Dodgers won the World Series, but the season was split by a work stoppage in the middle. And they played it as two halves. So the team that won, like, if you win the division in the first half, you make the playoffs, and then the records reset to 0-0. And if you win the division in the second half, you make the playoffs. So the thinking is, Woods, a team that gets off to a slow start that's, 15 games out of first place in July has the opportunity to wave a magic wand and at the middle of the season start over again and compete for a playoff spot in the second half of the season. It could actually...
What magic beans did... So everything just starts at zero.
Everything starts at zero. So it's like two separate seasons. And then at the end, the winners of both seasons advance to the postseason tournament along with, some wild cards for overall record. They could come up with however format they want to do it, but it's been done before in Major League Baseball twice, and it's been done in the minor leagues quite regularly.
How does that impact decisions like trades and things like that? So do you have two trade deadlines? You could be on
one for each split season.
One for each split season.
You could have a trade deadline in the middle of the break between the two seasons. Like, you've got to make your trades before the start of the second season.
But it...
Like, 81-game season, 81-game season.
Would that slow the... All right, Paul, Adam's got the audio. Let's hear some of this.
From when we just saw the NBA, they begin this in-season
tournament. The Emirates
Cup. Has there ever been a consideration of doing some sort of in-season baseball tournament with 162?
We talk about all of those kinds of... Talk about them as format changes.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about split seasons. We've talked about in-season in tournaments. We do understand that 162 is a long pull. I think the difficulty, to accomplish those sort of in-season events, you almost inevitably start talking about fewer regular season games. And, that is a much more complicated thing in our sport than it is in other sports.
Because of the records.
All of our season-long records,
changes.
You're playing around with something that people care a lot about.
No, I know. And most fans differ. For me, if you say they need to change the games, I go 163. I mean, that's me. I'm the kind of baseball fan that says that. Yeah. but there definitely is. And I want to ask you about realignment.
So, I don't know. That felt like that was almost a setup question. Because
who kept banging on the mic the whole time? Just like Craig Carton.
I get you're probably a baseball purist when it comes to the 162 game schedule. You don't want a tournament. You don't want a split season.
Oh, I mean, right? I would love 148
games.
Well,
yeah, I want less games.
I want fewer games.
But does the idea of a tournament intrigue you at all? What if the winner of the tournament got a playoff spot?
No, it doesn't intrigue me. I as much as I love the WBC, and I know that there's, you know, questions about when they do it, when's the right time to do it. It's here. This is what it is at right now. So now that it's here, it's set in stone. I'm going to embrace it. But I don't think I need an in-season tournament. What would that look like? Is it a world type tournament? Is it
I think the biggest problem in baseball right now is the competitive imbalance between the big spenders and the small spenders.
It has been for a long time.
It has been. One way you could combat that. Think about an idea of 140 game season, but then like a 24 or 22 game in season tournament or whatever that involved every team. And then the winner of that tournament at the end, or you had an American League and a National League tournament, and the winners clinch a playoff spot for the end of the year. That would give every team up. The Colorado Rockies could have a good 22 game stretch and like earn a playoff spot in that tournament. Well, it would be.
They could also have a good 22 game stretch and get a playoff spot.
They could have a good 22-game stretch and still lose 100 games as well. You know, and I think that's been the main issue in baseball. So an idea of an in-season tournament that had a prize at the end of it, wouldn't that excite fan bases of teams like the Nationals and the Rockies? And like, hey, we've sucked all season, but we still have our chance in August in the in-season tournament.
So everybody's in.
To get a chance to make the playoffs. Now, probably the good teams are still going to win that. But
then you run the risk of a team that got hot in whenever the tournament is July, the Nationals, as an example. They get hot. They win a place in the playoffs, and then they're terrible in the playoffs.
They get knocked out in the first
round. Decimated.
Someone's always terrible in the playoffs anyway. Well, it's knocked out in the first round in the sweep.
Yeah, but they earned their way in. It's just, you know.
They'd earn it this way, too.
A three-week stretch.
Based on the rules.
All right, fine. I mean, listen, I just need to.
I feel like we've wasted way too much time talking about this.
I do, too.
I don't think there's any chance this happens.
I don't think it's going to happen.
I think, if anything, I would be on board with if they could figure out a way to, if they want to do the WBC, like, mid-season.
Yeah.
And do, like, a three-week-long All-Star break.
Yeah.
I would be fine with, like, we already have the week-long All-Star break. If you extend that by however long it needs to be.
Yeah, but what if your team is just rolling, on fire, you hit the break, and then it's like, all right, man, six of our guys are off to the WBC to throw max effort and play max effort.
My point is, we have the WBC, like, we have the tournament style of baseball already. Like, figure out a way maybe to enhance that. I don't know about split seasons and getting too crazy. That seems wild.
Yeah,
well, Manfred admitted it's unlikely to happen. The logistics, the changes that would be necessary make it a. But I don't mind them having discussions about all of these things. I think the openness to add things like the pitch clock and banning the shift has made baseball better.
Sure.
We all agree that. So why not keep at least having those conversations? Even if they go nowhere.
Those are little tweaks.
Ryan,
are pretty big changes, Paul.
Rioni Lewis in the chats is this only benefits the owners. Rockies won't spend. Then they get in the playoffs, sell more tickets for playoffs by doing nothing other than winning a tournament or whatever. But I don't know. I just
feel like Rockies fans would be pretty excited about that, though. Rockies
fans would also be excited if their owner said, yeah, man, let's get some people in here. Let me spend some money. I don't know. It does feel a little bit. I didn't think about it that way.
If we're not going to do anything to the season, how about the off season? One other topic that Manfred addressed with WFAN was the potential of creating a free agency deadline.
Ooh, players did not like that.
To spark some action in the offseason. Here's what Manfred had to say about it.
It's massively anti-labor. Massively.
Is it?
Yes.
We'll see.
You know, the proposal really was not about trying to alter the terms of deals one direction or another. I'm kind of a believer in you have a deadline. You know, you're going to make the same deal, give or take, you know, if you string it out. I think the reason I was interested in, I think that, like, from the 1st of December to the 20th,
If we had a period in there when all that free agency activity went on, it's a great marketing opportunity for the game at a point in the calendar when, you know, you're not quite in the NFL playoffs, you know, the NBA's still kind of early, and, you know, it's a great chance to kind of own some off-season weeks, right, which is crucial to selling tickets, selling season tickets. So that's why I was interested.
Do you have look, I'm going to ask you a question. I know it's hard for you to answer, because how can you possibly put yourself in the brains of the players and the union reps?
Yeah.
But was there a legitimate reason from them why they were opposed to it?
Yeah, I mean, what they said back, I can only tell you what they said. Yeah. I don't know what was in their heads, but what they said back was they thought that kind of deadline would work to the disadvantage of the players. And, you know, I don't put much credence in this. Let's face it. On both sides of these negotiations, there's really sophisticated people who negotiate for a living all the time. You tell them whatever the hell the rules are, it's all going to turn out the same, no matter what they're...
Right.
You know, I mean, it's the money's the money is the money. So, but that's what they said. But I do think it is something... that would help the game in terms of maintaining interest during the offseason.
Yeah, no.
So what would you think, Woods, about having like a three-week just free agency extravaganza during the month of December?
Now, you know I love a December extravaganza very, very much. I don't necessarily like it, because what you're telling the owners then is, if you don't sign when we say, and what you're telling the players is, if you don't sign when the owners say you need to sign, we're going to give the owners even more leverage after that. So hard pass from me, probably a hard pass from 99% of the players out there would be my guess.
For content purposes, for somebody that covers the sport, Paulie, I would love it.
For content purposes,
like,
yes.
How does that work if you know, like, let's say they moved it even to like January 31st. Like, even I would say move up the winter meetings to January, because now you're closer to spring training. Hey, this is the last push.
Eno.
After this, no more signings. But then what happens if somebody gets hurt?
Eno, like, how do you sign somebody? Eno suggested a pause. A pause. Instead of this trickling in, a pause, he said, would be better than a deadline.
That makes sense. Safety net. You can't force every guy to sign if they're not ready to sign. There'd have to be some sort of safety net.
The Dodgers would find a way to manipulate all of this, and it would drive us crazy.
All right. Last night's game, epic in college football. They got another one coming up tonight. We'll talk about that and more. Hour number two of Ben and Woods from Fantasy Camp in Peoria, Arizona, coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.